Welcome to episode 26 of the Band of Gamers podcast. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by DBQ Hams.
It's so good to be back, Grey. Thank you.
Yes, welcome back, my friend. It's glad to have you back, and we were also supposed to be joined by our good friend, Osiris, who I've been gaming with a lot lately, but something's come up. He's not here, so the podcast must go on, and so we will go on. And DB, I know you've been really busy outside of gaming, but you must have squeezed in some gaming somewhere. Tell us, what have you, just give us an update on what you've been playing.
Sure, yeah, it's been quite a while, but at the same time, during this last month or so, I had a Gamefly offer to rejoin for $1, right? For a month for a dollar. And so I've had the chance to play most of, at least dabble in most of the big releases over the season. And so I think the ones that really stick out for me are Rise of the Tomb Raider. I got really sucked into that to the point where I thought I was just going to rent it a little bit and maybe pick it up on the cheap later. And by the time that it was time I wanted to send it back, I was so hooked, I ended up picking it up over Black Friday. Not that it was even on that big of a sale. So, but that game, it's beautiful, right? The set pieces are amazing. The story beats are a little more consistent from the first game, the Tomb Raider, you know, from 2013, which I enjoyed that game more than the last Uncharted game. I thought the gunplay and bow and arrow gave you the opportunity for a little bit of stealth, a little bit more than a Nathan Drake shootout, and the landscapes were great. But really, this last game here has been, you know, some reviews have talked about it being a little more open world, and I don't even know that I'm far enough into to say that it is. It's, there are open hubs where there's a lot more collectibles and tombs to find, and there are, you know, I'm hunting down feathers like it's Assassin's Creed, and I'm finding rope arrow bridges to string across on, and it becomes, it's almost like, it's like Arkham Knight. Arkham Asylum, right? Like, as you got halfway through that game and suddenly you end up in, like, the big square outside by the water at Arkham Asylum, and there's all kinds of different avenues to go in, and the different hubs there really just kind of open things up, and you have the opportunity to explore a lot more, and the climbing is good. I was really kind of jonesing for a narrative-driven story, and that did it for me. After kind of playing around a little bit with Call of Duty 3 or Black Ops 3, and trying to get into that, and realizing that its vision of the future was just way too depressing for me to dive in and play more of, even if the gunplay was good. And while I enjoyed Halo 5, and I'm still enjoying the multiplayer there, this has been a really good kind of directed story. So that's been really good. I've enjoyed that. I've got a handful of games kind of sitting on my holiday list to hope to get to in that ever-evolving backlog that I continue to be infamous for. But I've also had some time to pick up Witcher 3, and which is, again, not a new game, but a game that's getting some praise in the end of the year pieces here in terms of, you know, starting to get end of the year game awards and things like that. So, yeah, and that was, I haven't played Witcher 1 or 2, always been kind of interested. I picked up some Witcher graphic novel and read through that, so I kind of have a little bit of a sense of the world, but again, that was a really solid, I'm not that far in at all, right? I mean, this is a massive open-world game, but I can tell you that after the first couple hours of playing it, I that's another game I picked up over Black Friday sales, and put its DLC on my wish list for Christmas. That, again, it's a rich world that is sucking me in, and maybe it's because I'm so busy in the rest of life right now that I'm enjoying kind of the ability to get lost someplace else. And that's been good. That's been real nice. I have spent a little bit more time playing some Battlefield Hardline when they've had some. I'm looking forward to the new DLC there. But one game I haven't picked up and or haven't played in a while, and this will surprise you, Gray, is since the release of Halo 5, I have not gone back to Destiny. And maybe that's something that I'll eventually go back to, because I still haven't gone through all the content, but I don't feel in any rush to dive into it because there's not a whole lot else going on with it right now. So I've been stuck in some narrative-driven experiences, and that's been my experience, but you have had a little more multiplayer vein going on your end. So what have you been playing, Gray?
Well, yeah, thank you, DB, for that. You know, we've had a bunch of game nights kicking off here, so we have actually three game nights over at Casual Adult Gamers. We have our new Battlefront Wednesday night game night. We actually played the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Just a few of us kind of jumped on, myself, Downriver Rat, some others. Mace Bite, I think, was in. But the first real kickoff was this week. We had a half dozen folks, and we had a blast. And I'll tell you what, you know, it's a little rough. You know, Battlefront is. It's not perfect yet, but and it's new, so we're all learning it. It's not exactly like Battlefield 4. It's not exactly like Destiny or Halo. But lots of fun, lots of laughs. I twitched our gameplay. Unfortunately, one of my friends killed himself. It was really funny. Kind of my fault too. But good times. Good times in Battlefront. And if you want to join us on Wednesday nights, we usually run from 8 p.m. Eastern to 11 and later. I know there's some guys on the West Coast who want to start at 11. So anybody out there listening, please join us. It's a good time. We laugh a lot, as you can tell from the Twitch stream. And then Friday, my wife decided to go to bed early, and I was just like tooling around, and some of my friends were playing Neverwinter, which I had downloaded, but I've never played. They're telling, oh, you're going to go through 45 minutes before you can join us, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I says, I know you guys all have Vegas. Actually, it was Magnum and Jetty and CT, but Magnum and Jetty and I had gone through all the Vegas 2 Terrace Hunt maps together originally when it first came out. And so they powered on their 360s and joined me in Vegas 2, even though I was on the Xbox One. They powered up their 360s, the four of us got together, and we played Vegas 2 to like 11, 1130 at night, and then we threw in Titanfall, and around midnight I started yawning and falling asleep, so I had to excuse myself. But that was unexpected, a little ad hoc gaming there, impromptu gaming. And then, of course, we had our big Halo 5 meetup on Saturday night, which was a blast. We got together at 9 o'clock. We just had so much fun, just all the different modes. And at the end of the night, we were just doing, like, free-for-all SWAT. And I went to go grab a cup of water, and I think I went to go grab a cocktail. And they set up the game, so it was like 5 against 1, 5 against me. So that was hilarious. Not, but
they teach you to go have a drink that way.
Yeah, that was my good friend Wonderboy. That was actually pretty funny. But what a great crew we had! We had the Ducks in there, Mr. and Mrs. Cajun Duck, and just a great crew. Osiris Prime was in there. And just we had so much fun. And, of course, Sunday Night Forza. What a blast. We have, I think we had 7 or 8 guys. And, you know, Solar Racer X and Poison Raptor and, you know, Rider, FX Rider. And just a great group of guys. And we had a lot of fun playing some funny, you know, not racing serious. Actually just being funny, you know, doing funny races and just having a good time, which I appreciate because I'm not playing Forza 6 unless I'm playing with the guys. So good times, lots of laughs. I also I did some game streaming to my Windows 10 laptop, running Neverwinter, trying to get through that first 45 minutes while my wife was watching a show. And not bad for a free game, not bad at all. I also was able to kick on the NES and play some Super Mario Brothers and some Contra. Man, I'll tell you what, I forgot how addicting Contra is. Contra is wicked addicting, and I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. For some reason, I'm having a hard time streaming though with my hodgepodge. It just doesn't with OBS. It's just not working well. But in any case, and the last but not least, I caught this great sale. So there were so many sales going on, and we talked about all the Black Friday sales last week. But I wanted to throw out again the GOG sale. I got like all the Star Wars X-Wings and TIE Fighters and Rebel Assaults, and I got them all for like 20 some odd dollars. It was just phenomenal. And I also picked up DEF CON for a couple of bucks, which I have the CD version, but I saw it for $2 and I said, I got to get that. And that's it. What a crazy week it was in gaming, but so much fun, so many good times. I tried to stream everything. It's all on the Gamer Show YouTube channel or the Gamer Show the_gamers_show Twitch stream, and hopefully it'll be coming to Gaming World forums and CAG shortly when I get some time. I hope to post all the videos up there as well. But that's it. What a crazy week. So busy, especially after Thanksgiving. So with that said, let's jump into the. Go ahead. What were you going to say, DB?
Yeah, I want to go back again. Maybe it's just because I've been out, but one, I did have a chance to catch some of your streaming, and it's fun. It's fun to watch you guys play, and the laughter along the way, right? I mean, that's just half the fun. It's hanging out with your friends and having some goofy times, whether it's in Forza or craziness in Battlefield or Battlefront. So I haven't been on for a while, but I picked up Halo 5. I really have enjoyed some of the multiplayer, both the rotating playlist in the arena, but also the Warzone stuff. Have you, when you guys saddle up for a night, what modes do you end up? Do you rotate around? Do you try to gravitate toward anything specific? What kind of keeps you guys playing?
Well, some of the people really like SWATs. And, I'm not too bad at SWAT, but I'm not really that good. Osiris Prime is really good at SWAT. Him, Wonder Boy, and Solar Racer X, they are really, really good at SWAT. I'm not so much. I like Warzone. I really like Warzone. It feels like Battlefield to me. It's very not that I know how it works or I've figured it out. I haven't. But getting out there, capturing points, defending points, I really like that. And I like it's almost a little, pardon the analogy, a little reminiscent of Tribes 2, where I can order my own vehicle but depending on my rec level, and I like that. And nobody can steal my vehicle because I spawn in it, which was always a problem in Tribes 2. The kids would always steal whatever vehicle I ordered. But yeah, no, I like Warzone a lot. I also like, I mean, we played some Capture the Flag, SWAT, Deathmatch, all fun, all lots of fun. But we played up because we had. Was it six or seven people threw us into the big team battles? We played that for a while. That was a blast too, I got to tell you. I had a lot of fun, and we had one epic moment. I'll tell you what, if you're ever playing Halo 5, let Prime drive for you. Not only is a phenomenal driver in the Warthog, but he also calls out where the baddies are. So we had this great run where I was gunning for Prime, and oh, good times, really good times. I want to go back and watch that video because we actually turned that round. We were losing that round, and we turned it around and we ended up winning it. And it was due in part to some phenomenal driving by Osiris Prime. So thank you, Prime. And so what have you been playing though? Just mostly the arena?
Yeah, and Warzone. I played around. I enjoy Warzone. I think it's fun. I haven't had a chance to get back in since the big team battle update, so I was curious about that. But no, I do. I enjoy Warzone both straight up and the assault. I like the rec system. I'm still, I did you know, purchase a pack just to see what comes in a premium pack for the sake of seeing if that makes any difference, which I think probably out of guilt I'll end up playing more just in order to use the cards that I have. But it's fun. It feels like up until a certain point, you know, a lot of times it could go either way, and then it starts to, the scales start to tip as one team ranks out those rec levels faster and gets the bigger equipment faster. But there's a nice push-pull there, you know. I think the thing that I've really appreciated, and maybe I'm just novice enough in multiplayer gaming to appreciate it, is I've so appreciated Halo 5's matchmaking system. You know, that all the tiers that it has and the ability to kind of keep you around that same match level, it makes jumping to an arena, even if I'm not a great player, still a whole lot of fun. And I like that, you know, that I can't always get on at the same time that other people are on, but I know that if I get on to arena, I'm going to have a competitive match because it's match made so well. And, you know, that isn't the case in... You know, it's not the case in Destiny, it's not the case in Black Ops 3, you know, that even in Battlefront, that's not the case. So I think for me, that's been a real boon for Halo 5.
Well, I'm glad you got it, and I would love to go through the single player with you sometime if we can make our schedules line up. That would be a lot of fun.
Cool, yeah, that would be fun. So, you know, this time of year, there's not a whole lot of news going on, is there, Gray?
You know, nothing that really, I mean, really nothing that caught my eye. We talked about some of the stuff last week, Prime and I, about, you know, the backwards compatibility on the PlayStation 4, which is pretty cool. You know, I think mostly what we've been seeing is, you know, year in review. You know, one thing I want to talk about is the Rainbow Six Siege. So I decided to hold off on that just because there's no, I mean, it's all it is 5v5. You look at Vegas 2, right? Vegas 2 had a single player campaign, which you could play with Vegas 2 only could do two player co-op. Vegas 1 was four player co-op. But then once you did that, you had something called Terrorist Hunt. And I loved Vegas because you ranked up in every mode. So no matter what you were doing, you had one rank, and you were ranking up and unlocking stuff. I thought that was cool. But then this terrorist hunt was pretty much you and your friends against the terrorists, which was cool. But then there was multiplayer. There was, you know, rescue hostages, disarm the bomb. There was all these different modes in multiplayer. Now, Siege, there's one mode in Siege. It's 5v5. You can play 5v5 with real people, or you can play 5v5, you and your four friends against 5 AI, which is cool, and that's Terrorist Hunt. But there's a lot. It's like, where's the rest of the game? For my $60, I expect a single player campaign, which I can play co-op, and then I expect some 8v8, 10v10. You know, I mean, look what I get with Halo: single player, which I can play four player co-op, and I have played through four player co-op the whole thing with Mace Blight and Zeus Thomas and Dead of 3. And then I have all these multiplayer modes. All right, I may not have a firefighter or a horde mode, right? But I have all these different multiplayer modes, which are awesome. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's a $60 value to me. I've noticed a lot of the reviews are coming in around the 8 out of 10, which is pretty good. I think, like, a lot of sites gave Halo 8 out of 10. I'm like, you know, the two games is totally different value in my eyes. Between the two different games, you know? So, I don't know. Have you seen any of the reporting on Siege, Rainbow Six Siege?
Yeah, some of the podcasts, other podcasts I've listened to and other sites, I think it's falling into, for some of those places, it seems to be falling into some of that Battlefront camp in terms of thin on the experience. And unlike Battlefront, it doesn't have kind of the mystique of Star Wars and the wish fulfillment there. And so I think it ends up probably playing really well to a small segment of the audience, but I think you're right that there's the amount that's there for, you know, who was it? It was an IGN Xbox podcast. They were talking about That sure, there's other games like Counter-Strike that do this all the time, but you're paying $20 for the base game, not $60. Or to have to play through and unlock all the different characters. So there's like 10 different characters that you unlock as you go through like the single player missions. And the single player missions, as I've been reading about them, are really single player. You're not in a squad, they're not AI controlled, where say what you will for Halo 5's pathfinding ability for your squad mates, at least you don't feel isolated, even if you're playing it by yourself. And then to go into Rainbow Six Siege and where everything else is a squad-based tactical game and have to go through things on your own, it doesn't necessarily translate into good training for the multiplayer experience either. So, yeah, I think it seems like it's a Ubisoft game. So it seems like it will go on sale relatively quickly, like other Ubisoft games have. The new Assassin's Creed was on sale for cheap over Black Friday, and it wasn't even out more than a month. So I think it is something where people who are interested and have enjoyed the past games, if you let yourself play through some of the stuff that you are getting over holiday sales and know that this will come up on sale early in the new year, I bet.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just I don't know. I mean, even Battlefront. All right, so there's no single player campaign, but there's a pretty good two player horde mode, and that's a lot of fun. I played it. You can do coach co-op. You can do. I wish there was four player, but there's a pretty good horde mode. But there is 10 different modes that you can play, and one of them is Fighter Squadron, where you're in an X-wing or a TIE fighter. I mean, there is. And one of them is Heroes, where you're a hero with a lightsaber or a force power. So I don't know. When I look at Battlefront versus Siege, I see just so much going on, so much more going on in Battlefront than Siege. I mean, one is 5v5. You're either a terrorist or you're defending or attacking, and the other is just all kinds of craziness. All I don't know. It just seems scope-wise, it just seems very, very, very shallow. And to me, not worth $60. But again, the people are playing it like it. It's getting good reviews. So, if they would have threw a single player campaign in there, I would have been sold. But how about the game of the year? There's been a lot of news sites, gaming news sites, and podcasts and whatnot talking about the game of the year. Across the game of the year, a lot of sites have given it to Witcher 3, which it deserves, I'm sure. But what are your thoughts on the game of the year? I personally, the games of the year that have been picked, they haven't been my favorites. So, what are your thoughts?
So yeah, this past weekend, one, there was the Jeff Keighley Game Awards, which seems to be getting more credible and credible and not just a Spike TV celebrity fest, which is great. It's nice to have that. And then right after the Game Awards, we launched into the PlayStation Experience. And so there's been a bunch of PlayStation news coming out over the weekend as well. There are a number of sites, right, that are they're in their deliberations in terms of Game of the Year, but we haven't necessarily heard all those Game of the Year places. Maybe that should be a topic for another podcast as we navel gaze and talk about our own games of the year. But the Jeff Keighley Game of the Year's the Game Awards, I don't know. I mean, they're interesting choices, right? I mean, so Best Family Game went to Super Mario Maker. I can totally agree with that. My kids and I have had a blast with that, and it's something that they Nintendo, for all their kind of feet dragging and unawareness in terms of modern gaming, they continue to update it. They've put in checkpoints and they put out challenge modes, and they've really made it a fun kind of continually evolving experience. Best fighting game was Mortal Kombat 10, which I don't really have anything to say about that, I think. The one that I'm interested in here, and I'd like to hear your opinion too, is so the Game Awards gave Best Multiplayer Game to Splatoon, which,
I know it.
I picked it up over back in August after the update, and it's a lot of fun, but I I don't know that it's best multiplayer game. I think that that is, without voice chat, and, sure, it's creative, but if it's a very isolated experience because you're not playing with groups, really, unless you have, 16-digit codes to share with people. So, yeah, great. If I was going to open that category up, what becomes your multiplayer game for the year?
What? Maybe 1% of multiplayer action has been in Splatoon. I mean, honest to God, where are all the multiplayer action? It's Call of Duty. It's Battlefield. It's Halo. I
Right,
think
or even
Splatoon.
take it out of consoles, take it out of first-person shooters, and talk about things like the release of Heroes of the Storm, or Smite, or any other MOBA that's a multiplayer game where you're actually playing with people.
Yeah, I Splatoon, I've never played, and we've talked about it before. It looks phenomenal, and it looks like a lot of fun. But how that could outdo the, 78 other games that are have way more people playing and have way more sales. I just don't get it. I don't that you know there's a they've lost touch with reality in a segment where if you give that the multiplayer game of the year, then you are out of touch. I mean, is this the video game awards, or is this your personal list? Are we going to award, like, when you go to the Grammys or the Emmys or the Oscars, is it just like one person's personal list, or is it we're trying to get a consensus of what is actually the best of the best? And I always thought it's we're trying to gain a consensus, and I'll tell you what, there is no consensus for Splatoon being the multiplayer game of the year, and I'll tell you why. If you look at actual live people playing over the last 12 months, Splatoon is not on the radar. It's the Call of Duty, it's the Destinies, it's the Halos, it's the MOBAs. I mean, no, Splatoon is not a drop in the bucket. It cannot win multiplayer game of the year just because 99% of multiplayer gamers are not playing it. That doesn't mean it's not a great game, but there's no consensus for it being the best. And I don't know. I just that to me that I don't know. I could see Mario Maker even it just came out really recently, but I could see that being Family Game of the Year. But I could see Splatoon also being Family Game of the Year, but not Multiplayer Game of the Year. And that's kind of where I kind of soured on it. I'm like, really? But whatever.
So, as you're talking about it, I think it's an interesting one. These were voted on by, like, at one point I read like 30 different, there were multiple different critics and game sites, and that this was a wide swath of developers and critics that weighed in on these awards. So what I'm wondering though is this, does this get like, because we're trying to make this serious, is it like the art house movie versus the blockbuster film, right? Like, it's not the game or the movie that everybody went and saw and had a good popcorn experience with. Maybe it's the multiplayer game that's trying to do something a little bit different. It's not sequel part four, it's a new twist on multiplayer gaming. I don't
I
know
hear
that
what you're
that makes it
saying.
the best, but that's what I'm trying to figure out, like, is there some type of artistic vote that came into that?
I hear what you're saying, but all I can say is this: whenever I see a whether it's movies or whatever, and it's the critic's choice, this is what the critics like. Almost everything they pick sucks. I'm sorry, but some of these movies that the critics are saying, "Oh, best movie of the year." There's a reason why they don't get the Oscar, because they're not that good. They touch a person's, they touch something with a particular person, but the fact that nobody went and bought tickets to go see it tells you something. They're just not interested in that movie. If you had a movie that came in, 50th in the year of sales, get the Oscar for best movie, I think there would be a lot of people saying, how can that be the best movie? Nobody went to see it. Not a lot of people went to see it. People were excited about all these other films. They went to see them 2, 3 times, and just a handful of people went to see that one. So, but yeah, I guess we'll have to have our own Game of the Year awards here on BandofGamers.net. We'll just have to pick our
There
own,
we go.
because
That's
I
how
think
we'll
they've let
solve
us down. I think they not, and please don't send me hate mail. I think Splatoon looks awesome. I'm just saying that such a small game, it can't be the game of the year because most people haven't played it. And I'm not saying it, if more people played it, maybe it would be game of the year, but it's such a small audience that I just don't think it could be the multiplayer game of the year. I'm still thinking it looks
I'm going
great.
to throw another one out here. So, another multiplayer game that did win, so best indie game, was Rocket League. That was free over the summer on PlayStation 4, if you had PS Plus, which everybody does because you need PS Plus now to play online. And Rocket League won best sports racing game. But Rocket League only really works as a multiplayer game. And, right, and in some ways, again, I don't want to harp on Splatoon. The art direction is wonderful. Nintendo's done a great job of continuing to support it. But I do agree with you, Gray, that I think there are other choices out there, even if you want to be kind of artsy with it, that aren't AAA releases. There's things like Rocket League that could be an alternative.
Yeah, so let me just say, absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Are you telling me the best sports racing game, the best sports game or racing game of the year, was a game that I never even heard of that came out only on the PS4? And it's a game where you
And the
have,
PC. It came out on the
and a
PC as
PC.
well.
I'm sorry. That is not the case. I'm sorry. I really just think they're wrong about that. There are a lot of great sports games out there. There is basketball, football, soccer, racing. There is a lot of sports racing games out there. And for Rocket League to be the best, when the majority of people who play sports racing games have never played it, I'm just like, I find that extremely hard to believe. Yes. Bad,
Well, I guess
bad, bad job, people.
with that in mind, and Gray's fervent disagreement here, we'll go through a couple other last ones because I think probably it'll fall in the same spot, right? So, best action adventure game, Metal Gear Solid 5, big open world game. I haven't had a chance to play it. I've read good things about it. That seems,
I've had
especially
so many
considering.
people tell me that game is awesome. My son bought that game, played through the entire thing. Everybody says that everything I've heard about that game is awesome. When I heard that one, I'm like, that kind of makes sense. That game has just been, everybody, old, young, loves that game. I'm not a Metal Gear guy, but I think universally people have thought that game was just phenomenal.
Great, yeah. I think, especially, and it also being kind of Kojima's swan song in terms of all the controversy that happened around Konami and Koji Kô Productions.
Well, right up into right into the show, right? They stopped him from going to the show. Did you hear about that? Can you
Yeah,
talk about
right.
that a
And
little
then,
bit?
yeah, no. So that they kind of had invited Kojima and. I'm assuming that the winners knew that they were going to win and could be present to accept and prepare a speech, like other award shows do. And Konami and its lawyers prevented him from going. And up until this point, there have been Twitter battles going on and press releases out of Konami saying he still works here, he's just on vacation, and there's been rumors that he's been ousted and. All of this back and forth, but there is clearly some bad blood that happened between a long-time game company. Well, you talked about playing Contra. That's classic Konami right there. Unfortunately, for better or worse, classic Konami doesn't really exist anymore, and Konami is, the most of their business is pachinko parlors and health clubs and mobile apps and. Big AAA, massive million-dollar budgets like Metal Gear Solid 5 are just not the direction that company is going. And so, That division has been very publicly aired now that they prevent a very prominent figure from showing up on an award show for himself. Yeah, that is, it certainly helped kind of put some news into the award show. When there's a little bit of controversy, people tend to tune in.
You know, it's so sad because the game, from what, again, I haven't played it, but universally people have said it's phenomenal. And my son, who's in college, he just went on and on and on about it, telling me how much he loved it, how they did everything right. You know, the only problem he had is it was kind of like, that's it, there's no more. You know? But you know, so sad when you have such a phenomenal game that, you know, you kind of have this falling out too. So it's too bad. They can't enjoy their time in the sun. But what else? What else won? Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, no, we're almost at the end, right? I mean, so one of the best shooter goes to Splatoon, but I'm going to keep moving because we've already talked about some disagreements there. And then the final, the game of the year they gave to Witcher 3. And I think, you know, I think that there's an argument for that. I think there's argument for other games in terms of whether it is polished and groundbreaking or massive in scale like Fallout 4, but still kind of buggy. You know, I think they were, and maybe there's a piece there, Gray, you know, that they're choosing games to get people talking. And maybe it's done in that way. It'll be interesting over the next couple of weeks here as we head into the holiday season and the end of the year to see how those picks on this prominent show kind of shake out with other websites. And so that'll be, I think that'll be a discussion point there. The final piece
of
news...
Go ahead.
The final piece of news I want to bring up is just some of the PlayStation Experience news that happened, but I want to give you a chance if you had some other thoughts on the Game Awards before we switch topics.
Yeah, no, and I'd just like to say again, I'm sure Splatoon is a great game. Don't send me hate mail, or you can if you want. But unlike Metal Gear Solid and Witcher, which were just critically just... Again, everybody loved those games, and I'm very happy to see those at the top. Splatoon, while a great game, I just don't see it as a multiplayer game of the year, as well as, Rocket Battle?
Rocket League.
You know, Rocket League. So we'll have to have our own little game awards to talk about those, but was not surprised. You know, and I guess one thing I would say is, again, I don't have Fallout 4, but just seeing how many of my friends are playing that game all the time and all the great press it's getting, I think, if it could have came out a little bit earlier, it could have had a chance at a Game of the Year run because it just seems to be as well-accepted as Witcher 3 and as Metal Gear Solid 5, Metal Gear Solid. Do you think Fallout 4 could have had a run if it came out a little earlier at Game of the Year? It just seems like it's doing phenomenally well.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it sold numbers, you know, Bethesda released numbers, and it sold massive amounts, at least for a Fallout game or a Bethesda game even. I mean, I think there was a crowd built up between Skyrim and legacy people with Fallout 3. I think that it has, you know, it has gotten a lot of kind of mainstream press coverage in terms of its scope. I think the one thing that's kind of still probably holding it down is some of the classic Bethesda jank and bugs. And so whether it, you know, like most Bethesda games, they're always amazing 6 months after they're patched. But they are so immersive and so open that it allows players to kind of experience it in the way they want to. So I don't know. I mean, I think that I would be surprised if we don't see Fallout 4 getting some Game of the Year nods from some sites. But at the same time, I wonder if some of the performance issues that places have talked about in terms of frame rate on the consoles, if that's going to factor in and be a knock against it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now, I didn't really pay attention to the PlayStation experience. Just so much going on with Thanksgiving and everything going on here and all the new games, Black Friday. But you've really kind of dug into that. Well, can you give us your report? What were the items of note from the PlayStation experience?
Sure, I'll just give a quick rundown because some of these, a lot of these, are just kind of release notes that things are coming up, and there'll be more information about it coming down the path. The other piece I want to say first, for anybody listening, on a clarification, before you write in to tell Gray about Rocket League, we'll let him know that it's coming to Xbox One this spring. So Gray will get a chance to try out car soccer this spring when Rocket League comes to Xbox One. So, I did find that news story, Gray, and it is going to be released on Xbox One. So,
Yawn.
I don't know. Well, there we go. We know Gray's racing game of the year is not going to be car soccer. So, anyhow, PlayStation Experience news. There were a lot of pieces there, so I was interested in it. In part because I knew there was going to be a PlayStation VR panel and some discussion about that. There's some cool news coming out of PlayStation VR. Not so cool news is all the rumors about pricing, in terms of that it's still going to be around the price of a whole nother console, which will make it pretty restrictive. But some pretty cool looking games, right? Like Rez, which is a classic Dreamcast game. Right? Dreamcast? PlayStation 2 era, and then it was re-released. But to do, it's kind of a trippy, psychedelic, but it fits for VR because you're kind of experiencing that as you're moving along. Gollum, a big rock stone creature which is controlled by a girl, is developed from the ground up for PlayStation VR. But the interesting thing about it is it's coming from Bungie Vets, a Bungie developer who left during some of the dust up around Destiny, and the classic Bungie composer Marty McDonald, right? I think I have that name right. So it's coming from a pretty good pedigree in terms of people. So it'd be interesting to see what that looks like, how they develop that. In big fanboy news, games like Yakuza or the Final Fantasy VII game, the remake, they had a trailer that had some actual gameplay in it rather than just square, anime cutscenes. And it looks interesting. It looks totally different, and so I'm curious to see how that plays. Speaking of anime, Ni no Kuni 2, which was Level 5, and Studio Ghibli, which is a big movie studio, kind of like the Disney of Japan. That game, the first game, came out on PlayStation. Beautiful soundtrack and score done by a full orchestra. And so the second game is coming on PlayStation 4. I'm sure it's going to look just like an animated movie. And the game that looks exactly like an animated movie, because it is one, is Ratchet and Clank. That the Ratchet and Clank movie is coming out in April, and the game, which looks to be using a lot of the same assets in the cutscenes as the movie, is also coming out in April, and at a reduced price. So kind of a classic platformer there, but so there are other news pieces coming out of PlayStation Experience that PlayStation is getting, the Black Ops 3 DLC map first. Bungie announced that there's Sparrow Racing coming to Destiny, which actually sounds kind of fun. But that's coming from a guy who plays Battlefield Hardline for the driving rather than the shooting. So there we go. So yeah, lots of bits and pieces. Not anything that is really earth-shattering. I think the biggest earth-shattering piece, so for some people, that there's a few more PlayStation 2 games that'll be coming out. But the bigger shattering piece, Gray, I think, is that from December 6th through the 12th or so, is that the PlayStation Any bundle, well, at least the 350 bundle, are now $299 again. So if there were people who wanted that Battlefront bundle for PlayStation 4 with the old Star Wars games in it, like Super Star Wars and Pod Racing, That bundle is now $3.99. That those bundles that were just Black Friday prices at $3.99, like the Nathan Drake one, is now $2.99. You know, so it's for a console that is outselling the Xbox at a 2-to-1 margin to now be at a straight up price comparison and even cheaper is. Say what you want. I don't see how PlayStation 4 doesn't dominate the sales this holiday season.
You know, I have to say, extremely smart of my friends at Sony. I'm a big Sony fan, even though I don't have a PlayStation 4. You know, my time with the PlayStation 3 wasn't nearly as good as it was on the 360. I mean, and I think what Sony does not see is the fact that once those 360 gamers stop buying the Xbox Ones, that's a lot of sales in the U.S., you know, in North America. And with backward compatibility, that helps get people there. I had my own experience with Vegas 2 that I talked about earlier. Flawless. Absolutely flawless. So, you know, PlayStation 2 backward compatibility to the PlayStation 4, you know, I don't know. It's like you're going back two generations. That's a long time. I don't think there's a lot of people out there dying to play games from two generations ago. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but they're charging people again for these games that they already bought. So I don't know. I do think Sony, though, very, very smart to do the $2.99. As I look at the list of things they're coming out with, I see a lot of games I'm not interested in, you know? And it's, you know, it's not like when the PlayStation 3 we had Uncharted, we had Resistance, we had Killzone, we had, there was Gran Turismo. We had all these, you know, high-end games that really I like, that really appeal to me. And now we're, you know, the list of games you just went through, I'm almost like, Ratchet and Clank, Final Fantasy? None of those games really interest me. One of the other things I was kind of bummed out about, too, is the games they talked about for PlayStation VR had no interest for me. I wanted to see things like, you know, I want, especially like an Elite Dangerous or you know, what's that? What's the one where you're stuck in space? You know, almost like you're in the movie. You know what I'm saying? Where you're stuck on a space station, floating around. Those type of immersive environments. You know, even I could even see No Man's Sky with VR being awesome. But you know, some of the things they're talking about, like Res, I don't know if I'd buy VR for that. I want to be in the middle of the action. You know what I'm saying? And I think something that's, you know, like being stuck in space or flying a ship or flying a plane or something that's fast and requires 360-degree views would be phenomenal for VR. So, yeah, a little disappointed with the list. You know, I go back to the VR with the Oculus Rift, and I thought they had some great games queued up, you know, at their E3, you know, press conference, and I just, PlayStation VR should be awesome, but they need the apps, you know, you need the apps, so interesting stuff, though.
Yeah, it should make for next year to, you know, I think you're right, that there's not any killer game for either VR right now, that they're kind of niche experiences or little side immersion pieces, but not something where it really justifies both the price point and the whole idea of it's a fully immersive game experience. So it'll make 2016 pretty interesting, Gray.
Yeah, I'm just looking for that killer app. So when they get it, I'm in. All right, maybe I won't be, but I'll want to be in. But anything else, DB, before we wrap up this episode?
No, it's been good to talk again. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. It's great to talk to you again, and I want to thank everybody for listening today. You know, that's the end of another episode of the Bandit Gamers podcast. You know, if you have any comments on what we discussed, and I'm sure I'll get a bunch of them, please feel free to let us know. You can just go over to banditgamers.net and post a comment on the blog post for the actual, or in the forums for the actual episode. This is episode 26. Or you can drop us some email at podcast@banditgamers.net. And on behalf of DBQ Hams and myself, Greylock3491, I want to thank you for listening, And until next time, peace.